This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Good morning, Chicago. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the 26th, the biggest shopping day of the year, or at least it used to be the biggest shopping day of the year. And welcome to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink, WGN talk show host, a financial journalist, and CEO of Best Money Moves, a financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino, the founder and principal of the Alpha Wealth Group here in the Chicagoland area.
So, Tom, did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, as always. I mean, when you're around family, you get to eat.
I can only imagine the laden table of Tom Fortino.
I should say eat a lot. Let me rephrase that. But and a lot of good stuff that sometimes, I don't know if it's true in your case, at least, you know, there's certain traditions and there's certain things you only eat one time a year, right?
Yes. And for us, it's Thanksgiving where, you know, if I even start to think about changing a recipe, I get yelled at. So totally get that.
Yeah. So it's been good.
All right, good. Well, while everybody's getting ready to shop all the sales, perhaps, or maybe not, given COVID, we wanted to talk to you about some of the things that are going on in the news. And one of them is, you know, continuing news around inflation and these latest inflation numbers. So we've seen in the last couple of weeks that the amount of inflation has soared 6.8% in the past year. That's a 39-year high. And I know that I'm hearing from readers and listeners about how to approach this. They're really concerned about how do they think about taking it. They're worried about taking on more risk because they want to counteract the inflation with higher, you know, investments or higher performing investments, but they're really worried about losing it. And somebody passed along this thing from the Wall Street Journal. Somebody, I don't know who quoted it, I can't take any credit for it. Fear is a good investing philosophy only for the people who sell it. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd ask you, this holiday season, what's your take on fears and investment strategy?
Well,
and what do you think people should really be doing about counteracting the effects of inflation on their portfolios?
Well, it's interesting when you bring up fear, Elise. The point is, we always have to be careful with emotions. We always have to be careful about overreacting. Yes, this is something we should be aware of, concerned about, and maybe it's an opportunity to take a look at our portfolios. I don't suggest wholesale changes. I never do. I think you always have to be so careful in these instances. I would say, though, you know, again, look at this as an opportunity to say, hey, maybe I really need to understand what I own, because I would think, and this is not a criticism, it's because, you know, we're just busy with our lives, we're doing things. If I ask the question, do you know what you own? You know, so many of us have three different accounts. We have an old 401k. If we're married, our spouse has three different accounts. And we're really not really sure what we own. So when we see inflation, how is it impacting our portfolio? Do we really know? So I would say the first step here is take this as an opportunity. If you're in work with somebody, certainly say, hey, can we sit down and take a look at what my portfolio consists of? Or if you don't, then of course yourself, take a look, pull up the account, see what you own. Because certain assets are going to have a little more of an impact from the inflation standpoint. It's not. I would just say, again, so the first thing is take a look at what you own. Really do a deeper dive into what your investments are. Then secondly, if you're going to make some adjustments, again, always moderate those adjustments. So for example, you hear a lot of times where we say maybe you want to own real estate. This typically, you know, in many cases has an inflation buffer to it, or you may want to get more into consumer staples, things that have pricing power, whatever that may be. And we can talk a little bit more about that. I would just tell you, again, you may add a 3% position, a 5% position to your portfolio. So for example, if you say, look, I think energy is something I want to own. Again, and we've seen that the price has come down because of this virus spiking again. There may be an opportunity to own that, or real estate. When you own the index, and which most of us do, you know, energy is 6%. I'm sorry, it's 3% of the S&P. So maybe you buy XLE. There's ETFs. These exchange traded funds are great ways. Real estate, I think it's XLR, or there's other real estate funds, but I'm saying you can buy the ETF so you actually have a percentage in those. Financials may be a good piece going forward, because when we talk about interest rates. So there's so many things we can be doing, I think. again,
to counteract, is what you're saying, to really counteract. You know, so that's sort of interesting because when I think about, you know, gas, I think most people go, God, gas prices are so high. I should invest in energy. And they think about hearing, you know, maybe on Jim Cramer on CNBC talking about how oil, the price of a barrel of oil might hit $100. Mm-hmm. To me, that's like major recession warning. Like, yeah. I just can't. That red light is blinking so loudly in my face, like boom, boom, boom. But I know that people will also look back and to your point about real estate, you know, man, has real estate been hot? And REITs have returned a huge amount this year. I mean, they've just had a banner year. And so the problem is then, I think, people look at this and then they say, right, I need to invest in REITs, and the next year REITs are going to, you know, I don't know this for sure, but they could have a bad year because oftentimes you're chasing returns, and then you end up in the doghouse. I think fear, and this is how I think fear lets us drive down what we're doing with our portfolios instead of maybe they'd be better off just holding on to those index funds.
Well, yeah, I would just say some of the things, again, that's why I say these may be some moderate adjustments you want to make to your portfolio. I think the benefit is, I guess some of my takeaway here is to try to become a little more engaged in what you own. And I think that's very helpful in this whole process when you look at it. The other thing, as I said, as much as possible, whatever that is, have a plan. And again, I posed the question before. I said, do you know what you own in your portfolios? We've talked about this before, at least. Target date funds are a great example. You can pull them up, and they're the default funds in most 401ks. And when you look at it, in fact, I had a client in here a week or so ago who just got a new job and said, here's my new 401k. Can we look at the investment? So she said, they're putting me in the target date fund right out of the gates. I said, well, let's take a look at that. You know, whether it's 60 or 70%, whatever's in growth, many times almost half of it's in international. And she was not aware. She
really?
Wow, I did. Yeah. Anytime. Look up any, whether it's a 2025 fund, 2030, 2040, whatever it is. And you look up these target date funds and she was like, wow, I didn't know that. So it's really amazing. To me, it's kind of shocking when you look at these things. I knew it ahead of time. I said, let's take a look. So we ended up, you know, changing her portfolio around. But this is what I talk about of looking at what you own. And I use that as one example. There's many examples. Like I said, if you own an index fund, most of it is in certain sectors. If you're in the NASDAQ, 50% is in technology, right? So we just need to be aware of some of these things. And then, again, so let me take a step back. The takeaway from this is define your investment plan. Define what you want to do. Fear is okay, and it can sometimes be a good thing as you react to it. But as much as possible, I think emotions can be one of the most destructive things in our planning because we just, you know, we react.
And that's sort of natural, I think, as well. We have to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue this conversation. 630-934-1855 is the number to call to reach Tom. You can ask your questions about your portfolio, set up an appointment with him, or you can go to alphawealthgroup.com. It's a little late in the year for the year-end planning report, I have to say, but Tom has a, I mean, maybe they can email it to you and you can do something this week, but you may want to take advantage of his five pillars of retirement planning. We'll be right back with more on 720 WGN. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink. I'm here with Tom Fortino, co-founder of Alpha Wealth Group, and we are talking about money, specifically your money as you approach retirement, or perhaps you're in retirement. So, Tom, I was looking at this trend report that I got when I was in Miami a couple of weeks ago for the National Association of Real Estate Editors Conference, and one of the things, the big thing they talk about is how COVID has become this great trend accelerator. And working from home is perhaps the number one trend driving all sorts of things, right? It's driving changes in commercial real estate. It's driving things in how we live in our homes and what we're doing to our homes. So it's also driving renovation trends and it's driving purchase and sale. And, you know, when it comes to that, but you're also seeing it play out in so many other different industries. But when it comes to working from home, you know, it's not all fun and games because there's a new study out from the Rotterdam School of Management claiming that remote working can increase your risk of making mistakes, especially when you're working on mentally intense tasks at home. Now, they measured this using chess games. I don't know about you, but if I played mm-hmm. chess all day, my clients would be really annoyed with me. Also, I would be bad at it. But do you find, you know, when you've got people looking at their money, they're working from home, they're thinking about all of this stuff, you know, it's they really just get inside their head too much. And I'm wondering how prepared, when you talk to your clients, and I'm sure you ask them to get prepared, maybe we mm-hmm. need to take a step back and talk about how you get prepared if you're going to meet with an advisor. What mistakes are they making, and are people less prepared now because they're sitting at home all day kind of worrying about stuff and working in their pajamas? Are they more prepared because they've got all the stuff at home where they need it to get ready for you?
Well, you know, it's just so interesting when we're dealing with this world today, this new reality, I guess. But when it comes to being prepared, whether you're, you know, it's, I think this is me personally speaking, and I know others may feel differently, but, you know, when you kind of extricate yourself from the home, whether you're going to work out somewhere, whether you're going to an appointment, you're going to meet with an advisor, I think it's a better environment to be outside of that. And I think it's more helpful. And certainly when I meet with clients, it's more helpful. I do, you know, either way it works for me, whatever's comfortable for the client. Ultimately, I think it's best when you sit down. But I would say, regardless, the first step in this whole process, if you're going to meet with someone, and I send this out, you know, to individuals, and I, you know, the first thing I say, throw everything in a box, right? We're going to get organized.
Oh, my mother would be perfect for you.
Because I, you know.
She's been managing your money out of a box for 80 years.
So, you know, hey, you have a trust, you have your statements, whatever it might be. Bring it all, your tax returns. Let's go through all of it. I'll help get you organized. But that's the point, getting organized. That's the first step. And I think I've offered this before, and I always talk about, hey, I have this asset organizer. It's interesting because financial organization is one of the biggest obstacles. Whether you're going to meet with someone or not, I would say this is one of the biggest and most important things you can do in your plan, because you will discover things you were probably unaware of. So, for example, again, I have this asset organizer. It lists things, what is in your tax-deferred accounts, what's in your tax-free accounts, your bank accounts, your life insurance coverage, how are your assets titled, who are the beneficiaries. And you go through this, you know now what your net worth is. You have a financial snapshot, and I'm telling you, you go through this process. Again, I call it the asset organizer, and I have individuals go through it. Number one, they may discover assets. They have found assets. They think, wow, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, I have that old 401k from before. And then you can take a look. It's just like anything in life. You have to get organized. That's really the first step in this whole process because, again, you uncover things that you were probably totally unaware of. And if I ask the question, what's the value of all your retirement accounts? Can you tell me? Or your investment accounts? How are they titled? Who are your beneficiaries? What's your life insurance coverage? I mean, this is your life, right?
Yeah.
And again, not to be critical, but we need to get organized. And that's really the start.
No, it really is. And I was just looking at your asset organizer again. It's such a nicely done brochure. And I know you email it to people or you can mail it. Oh, if you want one, by the way, anybody who's listening, you can call Tom, 630-934-1855, or just go to alphawealthgroup.com and just fill out his little form on there. But those conversations that you and I have been having about how do you set up this guaranteed, you know, income in retirement? Mm-hmm. How do you think about what your expenses are going to be? How do you even have the conversation with your spouse or partner about where you want to live in retirement? And what mm-hmm. does that mean for how much you're going to spend? Even things like flights home to see the kids and grandkids if they don't live nearby. Mm-hmm. How does all that work? And what I love about our conversations, Tom, over the last 6 or 7 months is that you go through this by looking at these, as you call them, the five pillars of retirement. Mm-hmm. Asset protection, investments, estate and legacy planning, taxes, guaranteed stream of income. And it's just different from even the way professionals who I think have creds who should be able to tell this stuff. But as he said, my friend Michael said, you know, things change. My life is very different than it was 30 years ago. And my finances are very different. Mm-hmm. And I bet you get this all the time. So when people bring in their box, maybe they have one set of expectations and you just totally flip that on its head.
Yeah, it's interesting, Elise, when you start having conversations, it's things come up that, you know, invariably I always say things are going to come up that you never really thought about. And my approach, what's unfortunate with this industry sometimes, it's always made so complicated. And that's why I try to simplify and boil it down to, look, there's five pieces. We talk about it. What's your income plan? What's your tax plan? What's your investment plan? What's your asset protection plan? And what's your estate and legacy plan? That is what I like to call being complete. In my opinion, that's a complete plan. And so we just boil it down to those five pieces, and you start to dissect each one and say, okay, let's talk about it. Where's my income going to come from? Growing a pile of money and picking at it really is not a plan. I applaud people that have accumulated assets. But if you look at a 401k or an IRA, you have to keep some things in mind. That's an asset, not an income. You know, if we're just talking about income for a second, right? Number one, every penny you pull out is taxable at whatever the tax rate is, unless you're in a Roth. And so you may have to pull out 40 to net 30 if you're in a 25% tax bracket. 10,000 is going to the government. What happens if tax rates go up? So how much you, that's part of the tax planning piece, but it's also part of your income planning piece. Social Security is an income, but up to 85% of that is taxable. So all of these things come into play, besides the fact that what we're talking about now, inflation, market risk, longevity risk, all of those things come into play, and they're part of this five pieces. And I would submit, if you went through these five pieces and I started posing these questions to you, you could start answering them. Yep, I have a tax plan to do this to minimize taxes. I have an income plan that generates income throughout my lifetime as well as my spouse's. This is how we get to, I like to call it more of, as much as possible, a stress-free retirement. That's the goal.
Is there such a thing where all you need to do is worry about your health? That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you make such good points, Tom, and I think about this. And as I have been having these conversations with you, and I consider myself to be, on the smarter end of dumb about this stuff, right? Because I certainly have worked on it, written about it, managed it, and all the rest. But what happens when you have a spouse or partner who doesn't want to engage in this kind of stuff? I think this is a really big problem, particularly for women whose spouses may have had more control over the money, the retirement, paying the bills. This is very common for even highly professional women with, big, huge jobs and big 401k accounts and maybe even a lot of stock options. Their spouse or partner is the one who's controlling that. How do you start to have that conversation? It's probably more a bigger question than we have time for. Maybe we'll pick it up next week. But just sort of quickly, how do you think about it when your spouse or partner won't play along?
One of the things, certainly, I always try and encourage the spouses to come into meetings, because once they sit down, I've come across this too. It's interesting you bring it up, Elise. And it happens on both sides too, maybe more so, as you said, with the one spouse. But, once they start to hear about it, I think, unfortunately, some of this stuff gets overwhelming when it's like the old blessing and a curse. You have so much, it's great, we have all this information. But on the other hand, we just have too much information to digest. And so, as much as possible, I think if you can somehow start the conversation, whether it's sitting down with someone, you can comment on this. Sometimes maybe it's when they get it from another person, as opposed to, not hearing it from...
I'm tired of hearing my partner nag at me. You mean that?
Yeah. You have a third, kind of another person in there telling you this, like, okay, I'll listen now. So sometimes that's helpful. If you can say, hey, let's schedule some time to sit down with someone, I think that's very helpful.
Yeah, I think it is too. Well, if you want to schedule some time with Tom, give him a call, 630-934-1855. I think we're going to, in the new year, have to delve in more to this sort of male versus female thing. You can also go to alphawealthgroup.com and sign up. Tom, we just have a couple of seconds left, but I just want to wish you a very happy new year, because we are unbelievably just about to enter 2022, and our next show will be at 2022. So thanks for playing along this year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And I guess I can wish you a happy new year again, because I think we can do that in January as well. So
yeah, why not? Go ahead. We all listen. Everybody needs the happiest new year we can all have, right?
I agree with that.
All right. We'll be back next week in the new year. Thanks for playing along and listening to us this year. You're listening to This Week in Wealth on 720 WGN.
Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. Alpha Wealth Group, WGN, and RWA are not affiliated. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specialized in fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors. Insurance and annuities offered through Alpha Wealth Group, licensed in Illinois.